GLC presents brought to you by the donations of our faithful partners.
Shalom and welcome back. In this session, again, I hope you enjoyed the last time we were together. My name is Rico Cortez and this is Wisdom and Torah Ministries. Let me give you a quick rundown of what we covered last time. If you have been watching some of the TV, some of the shows that we have presented in the past, we talk about Amalek and how that Islam, it's not called Islam in the Bible, but we have the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the Ishmaelites, and basically the line of Esau, and how Amalek has always been the enemy of Israel, even from the time they came out of Egypt, and now had all the same players, but with different names now in this 21st century. Now we have different names, but the same characters and the players in a different religion named Islam. And the series that I'm doing is basically is Islam the Beast. The last session that we were together, we finished with establishing the land of Israel, Jerusalem. I'm going to do a quick review, so let's go back to the slide so you see where we end up last time so you understand what we're talking about. Now in 1 Kings 11:36, "But to his son I will give one tribe, that my servant David may have a lamp always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen for myself to put my name." That's exciting. Because we see in that, like I mentioned last time, in NASA satellite pictures, you can see the name of Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, inscribed, basically inscripted in the land, literal land. You do not see the name Allah in the land of Israel. In 2 Kings 21:4 says, "And he built altars in the house of Adonai, Yahweh, in which Yahweh has said, in Jerusalem I will put my name." But what name has been called right now in Jerusalem? Five times a day in the mosque, they call upon the name of Allah. So it's not the same one as Yahweh. So you have to compare the information in the notes. Psalms chapter 132, verse 13 says, "For Yahweh has chosen Zion, Jerusalem. He has desired it for his habitation." Psalms 132, verse 14 says, "This is my resting place forever, Le'olam. Here I will dwell, I have desired it." So let me ask you a question. If in Psalms 132, verse 14 says that that's the resting place of Yahweh, if it says that, and that he will dwell there forever because he has desired it, then no other name under heaven can be worshipped in that place except Yahweh. When you go back to the Hebrew scriptures, you know, the Orthodox will say Hashem, you know, some people will say God, but it's actually Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Okay, what's interesting is that he says he dwells in the place forever. Le'olam, infinite. There's no time limit. So what happens if you take the authority of the creator of your universe away and you build something and you call upon a different name other than what the Bible talks about, the Tanakh, the Torah, and the prophets? Isn't that blasphemy against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And that's what we're trying to study. Let's continue with the slide so you understand where I'm going with this. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 9 and verse 10, we're going to study this now. "Here is the mind which has wisdom." By the way, if you understand what wisdom means in the Torah, is the Torah. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, I believe, it says that the Torah is the wisdom of our people. We are Israel. We are the people of the book. We are the chosen people. Why are we the chosen people? Is that because we're better than anybody else? No, we have proven to be disobedient. And we have proven to do the wrong thing many, many times. But yet he bestowed upon us a blessing and he chose us to be his beautiful possession. I'm very grateful to be part of that blessing. And I'm very honored and humbled by that. Verse 9. "Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits." We will examine verse 9 later on. But right now we're going to focus on verse 10. "And they are seven kings, five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while." Now let's break that down a little bit. What's interesting is when John receives this vision, we see the kingdoms, five kings have fallen, one is, and one has not been revealed yet. This is where a lot of people miss the boat, see? You're trying to say that it's a revived Roman Empire, but we forget that there has been an empire who rose up after the Roman Empire, which is Islam. Now, let's go back to the slide. I'm going to break this down for you. Now, the Egyptian Empire was the first one. The Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Persian, the Medes, which are now called Iran, and the Greek Empire. And when John was alive, the Roman Empire, that's the empire that he says in that verse, that is, right there in verse 10. See, five have fallen, one is, and the other one has not yet come. The five that fell, Egyptian, Assyrian, Babylonian, Persian, and Greeks. The one that is, the Roman Empire, and the one that is to come and will remain a while, the Muslim Empire. That began in the year 629 and has prevailed all the way until now. And they control the world once. The whole modern world, they control it once. Now, what's interesting, I'm going to connect this with Messiah and the Samaritan woman. Samaritan woman, Yeshua asked him, where's your husband? And you notice that he has an argument with her, a conversation. He says, oh yeah, the one you have is not your husband. And neither are the other five. What are the five husbands that he was talking about there? The Egyptians, the Medes, and the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, and those five kingdoms that fell. Israel was conquered by those countries, and Israel worshipped their gods and assimilated into their culture, therefore provoking Yahweh to jealousy because of idolatry, assimilation. And by the way, the school of Shammai and the school of Hillel, before the first century, 50 years before Yeshua, that was established in the beginning to maintain the integrity of Israel as a nation so they wouldn't become assimilated into the Hellenization by the Greeks. So when Yeshua encounters this woman by a well, very significant, and I could go in another few hours on this one, I'm not going to really stay here too long, but you notice that he says, those five husbands that you have, is referring to prophetically to the fallen kingdoms that they worship. And those husbands died, by the way. This would explain why Yeshua needed to die and resurrect it. That's why he needed to resurrect. That would explain the whole thing, and I will cover that in a later teaching. So let's go back to the slide. Now let's go into maps. I'm going to show you some maps right now that is going to show you every kingdom. Remember that a great kingdom in the Bible, Yahweh only considers a great kingdom in the Bible if they conquer the land of Israel. If they don't conquer the land of Israel, it's not a great kingdom according to Yahweh's standards. You follow? The United States, according to Yahweh's standards, is not a great kingdom. It's only a refuge for the children of Israel that have been dispersed for the last 2,000 years. For the last 400 years that we've been here in this country, the United States have been a refuge of freedom for a lot of the children of Israel. I'm one of them that came to this country. England, the same thing. South and Central America, the same thing. But you see, if you conquer Israel... And what's interesting is that the British Empire, they were a kingdom at one point, and they took over Israel. But it's interesting, they did not come in. They didn't come in, into the land of Israel as conquerors. How do I know? There was a general back in the, when they took over the British Mandate and things like that. And the Jaffa Gate in Jerusalem used to be sealed. They just have one little gate. So they have to break it. They have to open it up so they can have the general from England coming. So there can be the chariots and whatever they will come, the horse rides, or whatever they were going to use to bring it in. Except that this general, he walked through the city. He didn't come on a horse. He didn't come on anything. He walked through the city. And it was not the king of England who came in. It was the general. In other words, it was not really a conquered land. It was just taking over a possession. It's kind of interesting when I saw them the historical facts. That's why, you see the demise of the British Empire, but at the same token, it's not like they were trying to really conquer Israel. They were just part of the booty, if you call it, of the Ottoman Empire falling, and they took over Israel. Amen? So now, let's move on. So let's look at this map, and you're going to see something really interesting. In my last teaching, we talked about Amalek and the locusts in the Revelation chapter 9. Remember that. The locust is defined in the book of Judges as being the Amalekites and the Midianites. Islam is composed, the main players of Islam and the leaders in the Middle East, they are descendants of the Midianites, Amalekites, and the Ishmaelites, Saudi Arabia, and those places like that. So now, let's compare all of these maps here. Here we have the Roman Empire, the Greek, the Assyrian, and we see the land of Israel right in the middle. Now, notice the dates, okay? This is the Egyptian era. And I want you to notice the dates, and I want you to notice that no kingdom ever went farther than India, except for Islam. I'm going to try to go slow here. Now we see the Assyrian Empire raising up. And that's where the children of Israel got dispersed, the 10 tribes, and they got assimilated, and they went all through the nations. They assimilated into the whole nations. That's why Paul was going to Rome. He was going to different places in Asia there, and some of the other people. And from there, they went to the ends of the world. 660, you see the Assyrian Empire growing. And now you have the Babylonian Empire. And you see also the Medes raising up. Now, the Medes really took over in the year 530 before the Common Era. And now they go as far as Turkey, modern-day Turkey, as far south as Egypt, as far east as where's modern-day Kashmir and Pakistan. That's why India, Kashmir, and Pakistan are having issues, because that land once belonged to the Islam. And we're going to see that in a minute. The Medes, the Persians, you know, now the Greeks, if you see there, is raising up. Now look how fast they took over. You can consider that locust. But that, they don't fit the mold, because the Bible says it's the Amalekites and the Midianites, not the Greeks. Now, let's go back to the year 323, as we see it here. And then we see the division of the kingdom. This is what the book of Daniel is talking about, in the year 301 before the Common Era. That the kingdom, that's when Antiochus Epiphanes came in the picture. And he defiled the altar. And he sacrificed a pig on the altar. And he established an image of Zeus in the holy place. And he basically, it was pretty gross. What he did, he asked the people not to circumcise the children, to destroy the Torah, not to practice the customs and the Sabbath and the feast. And when they found women that were circumcising their children at the eighth day, in the book of Maccabees it tells you, they will hang their children on their necks, and they will kill them, and they will parade them all through the city. This is all because of keeping of the commandment of Yahweh. They have suffered a lot for the commandment of the Lord. So, you know, we have to always keep in mind of the mercy of Yahweh towards our people Israel. Going back to the maps, you're going to see now, in the year 192, the division of the kingdom right there. Now, you see the Roman Empire is beginning to rise up. In the year 145, Common Era, you see the Roman Empire, the other kingdoms are falling down. And then you see the Roman Empire really taking off in the year 62 before the Common Era. And you notice they already taken Israel. Every kingdom that I've shown you so far have taken possession of Israel. Okay? And by the way, every kingdom that has taken possession of Israel, the Israelites have worshipped their gods. They married other gods, provoking Yahweh to jealousy, fulfilling all the prophecies in Leviticus chapter 27 and 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy 28, it talks about the blessings and the cursings. And if you study the curses, it lines up exactly with the prophetic things that happened in history to our people Israel. Because we have transgressed the Torah of Yahweh. We have disobeyed. For as for me and my house, we will teshuvah, repent, and come back to His ways. Now let's go to the Common Era. Look at the Roman Empire in the map. Now this is going to be enlightening to you. Because you see, until you see the maps, you never can make the connection between the locusts in chapter 9 of Revelations and the locusts that you see in the story of Gideon means warrior in Hebrew. Now look at the year 117, the Common Era. Now we move from the year 14, Common Era, the time of Yeshua. And that's where they're controlling the whole Mediterranean Sea. And then we see the Roman Empire in the year 117, Common Era. Now I want to show you something really interesting in a minute, but right now stay with me. In the year 300, Common Era, that's the Roman Empire. You notice that it's dividing up. Why two different colors? Because there was the east leg of the Roman Empire and there was the west leg of the Roman Empire. Okay, west leg is Greece. I mean, the east leg of the Roman Empire is the Greece, Turkey, north of Egypt, all of Israel. The western leg includes Germany, France, Spain, Morocco, Rome, and some of the other countries there. Now, let's go here to the Roman Empire in the year 476. Now, what you see here is the eastern leg of the Roman Empire. Everybody right now in prophecy is looking for the revived Roman Empire to come from Europe. But they forget about the eastern leg of the Roman Empire that right now is composed of Islamic nations. See, Constantinople, he changed. You know, there was one other guy. He changed the capital from Rome to what is now modern-day Turkey. And everybody keeps looking at Rome. So what's interesting is in the news and in prophecy, all the prophecy teachers, and I'm glad I'm not a prophecy teacher because I'm not that smart. I'm only a Torah teacher. That's it. I just go back to the Torah, and I'm presenting the facts that I'm trying to find out in history and in maps and in the denomination and the theology of Islam to prove to you that this is nothing new. This is just something that has been from the beginning. Now, what's really interesting, everybody's looking to Europe And it's supposed to be right here in the Middle East. I got a question to ask you. If everything began in the Middle East, the center of the focus has always been the Middle East, why would Yahweh change his mind in the last days and focus it on Europe, when they've really never been a main player in what everything had to do in the promises and the blessings and in the covenants? Did you realize that every covenant made in the history of the Bible happened in the Middle East? Yeshua died, resurrected on the Mount of Olives, ascended to heaven on the Mount of Olives. The Messiah will come back on the Mount of Olives. The Garden of Eden was Israel. And the Garden of Eden will again be Israel, Jerusalem. You know, it's going to be huge, but it's going to be there in the perfect where he has set his name and placed his name on the land. So why would he change his focus to Europe when it's always been there? Yahweh does not change. Let's continue with the slides. Now, when we go here, in the year 565, they're trying to retake Rome again and some north of Africa. But now look at this. Remember the locusts in the year 629. I hope you enjoyed this teaching, and I hope this has been a blessing to you so far. We're going to get into some pretty interesting stuff in a little while. So stick with us. And if I don't get to finish the whole teaching right now, come back and join me next time, because I think you're going to really enjoy the whole series. Okay? And if you miss one series, please call GLC and get one of the DVDs so you can watch it, so you can keep track of the whole thing. Now, in the Roman era, in the year 629, you see one player, Islam, Muhammad, comes in the picture. Now, what I find really fascinating, Christianity preaches that the Sinai Peninsula is the place where the commandments were given in Mount Sinai. But you see, when Paul went, when he came over and he was knocked down from the horse, he separated himself for 3 years. He went to Arabia, Midian. Now, what's interesting, if you go back to that map again, you're going to see something really interesting. See, you see the Sinai Peninsula, and then you see the right arm of the Aqaba, and the children of Israel, they actually met in Midian where Moses went to. It's not the Sinai Peninsula, it's actually where Saudi Arabia is now. Now, what's interesting to me is that Islam has taken possession of the two places where the presence of Yahweh had dwelt. In Midian, he built an altar, and the presence of Yahweh came down on that mountain, and he basically came down, and that means that land was holy, and basically he put his name there because he gave the commandments on that place, which is now in the land of Saudi Arabia. Back then, it was not known as Saudi Arabia. And they also have taken possession of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is where his presence dwelt too, where he has chosen to be an eternal possession for the children of Israel. So Islam, its two most holy places in the world are where? In the two places where the presence of Yahweh at one time came down on the earth. Coincidence? Isn't it the enemy always trying to take possession of God's holiness? Now, let's go through the maps and let me show you what locusts is all about. I hope that my last statement makes sense to you, because it's huge. That's how I know that I know that I know that the information that I'm presenting to you is actually facts, because it's lining up with the authority. He's trying to challenge the authority of Yahweh. Amen? So let's go to the next one. Look at this. 656. From 629, they're spreading like locusts rapidly. 656, they're taking over. They took over Israel at the time. 751, remember that no kingdom went farther than that you see in the green there in India, and then didn't go any farther south than what you see in the map there. And what you see here in the Islamic era in the year 1000, remember, this is what John did not see. This is the kingdom that was to come, and it will stay for a little while. And the Islamic religion and the kingdoms, they changed different players, like the Mongols, like the Ottoman Empire, like different ones, Turkey, and some of the other things, but they still kept the same religion. And look at this. In the year 1280, in the Common Era, we had the Mongol Empire. And they went as far, almost all of India, and parts of Africa, and what is now Russia, and US, what it was used to be USSR and Russia, almost all of Turkey. We have all the Middle East and parts of Yemen and some of the places there, Ethiopia and things like that. Now look at this. The year 1330, Islamic Mongol Empire. It's lasted a long time, hasn't it? Longer than any other kingdom prior to. And this is one of the clues. What John was saying, five kings have fallen. One is, and the other one's not yet here, but it will last for a while. And this one truly has lasted for a while. Let's move on to the maps. In the year 1566, remember, this has to do with locusts. What's interesting is that green is the color of Islam, by the way. And there are different factions of Islam. Just keep that in mind. Like in the year 1850, the Ottoman Empire. Now, the Bible says, it talks about in the year 1920, the Ottoman Empire fell because they went in cahoots with Germany in World War I. They lost, so one of the things was giving away, you know, the land that the Ottoman Empire had. Now, I believe that this, when the beast was wounded, that the Bible and prophecy tells us, by the way, the prophecy is dual. There's a duality to prophecy, by the way. There's a duality to prophecy. And this is what people, a lot of people missed. I'm not going to try to sit here and tell you who the Antichrist is. When he revealed himself, we will know. That's not my job. My job is to basically present to you the facts that I'm finding. Okay? So up for speculation. I don't want to work with that. Okay, what's interesting is that, you see, we have to weigh out the evidence so we don't get caught with our pants down, like I always say. Now, this is what we're trying to do. So I believe that the duality of this prophecy is that this kingdom, Islam being the beast, and the kingdom got wounded in 1920 when the Ottoman Empire fell. But you see, but the influence of Islam as a religion did not stop. And this is what you're going to see in the map. Remember, locusts, okay? Let's go back to the slide, please. In 1920, the Ottoman Empire fell. Jerusalem was taken by the British. They divided up the land. They created Lebanon. They created, Jordan. They created Iraq. They created some of the nations there. Now, look what happens in the year 1962. Let me go back to the slide of 1920 when it fell. The wounded empire of Islam in the world. And look how much it revived in 1920 to 1962. I don't know about you, but there's 1.4 billion Muslims. And that is only speaking about in the Middle East and in Africa. We're not talking about the Muslims in England. We're not talking about the Muslims in France. We're not talking about the Muslims in the United States and Southeast Asia. We're going to look into that in a minute. Now look at this in 1991, the Islamic era, 1991. Now this map right here is going to be very intriguing to you. Okay, this right there is the Islamic nations. There's 55 Islamic nations in the world. Now it's not just the Middle East. Now we're talking about worldwide. Southeast Asia, Borneo, we got a whole bunch of places, almost all of Africa. And if you've been watching the news, you see the huge influence and the battles that Islamic sects of Islam in Africa are doing to each other and the people that are there, and the Christians or Catholics. Now, what's interesting here, I hope you can make out this map, is very significant to a prophetic picture here, is the eastern leg of the Roman Empire that no one talks about. It's not the revived Roman Empire, but they forget that the eastern leg of the Roman Empire was composed of what is Greece, what is Turkey, and what is east of Rome. Okay, people don't talk about that. They only talk about Rome and the Vatican, and we're going to weigh out the evidence today and see who they are. Now, let's read a little bit on Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, verse 41. I'm going to read through so you understand what I'm talking about. A lot of people already know this, and I don't really want to, you know, dwell on this too much. It's a lot of other information I want to get to you. It says in Daniel 2, 41, and in that you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, and it will be divided kingdom. See? But it will have in it this toughness of iron, and as much as you saw the iron mixed with common clay. And it says in Daniel 2:42, and as of the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of pottery, and some of the kingdom will be strong and part of it will be brittle. And you see this in the news all the time. Every time that you see the news, they come over and they don't have a leader. The Muslim religion in numbers is very powerful. But when it comes to leadership, they're very weak. They're fighting amongst each other, okay? And Daniel 2:43 says, and in that you saw the iron mixed with common clay, they will combine, listen to this. This is very prophetic. They will combine with one another in the seed of men. In the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, even as iron does not combine with pottery. Let me give you the interpretation, my interpretation, okay? This is the gospel according to Rico. I always say that. It's kind of, I got to keep myself entertained, you know. So what's interesting is, if you notice the religion of Islam, they move into every country of the world, and they're not interested in assimilating into the culture. They basically create a Islamic culture within that culture. They mix in among the seed of men all over the world, and they don't really care to assimilate with the people. They want to bring the people into their religion. And according to the Quran, if they don't accept it, they can basically cut your head off. And we're going to show some pictures of that later. Let's go back to the scriptures. Now, as you see in Daniel 11:36, says, then the king will do as he pleases, and he will exalt and magnify himself above every god. and will speak monstrous things against the God of gods. We know that is Elohim of Elohim, which is Yahweh. And it says, and he will prosper until the indignation is finished, that which is decreed will be done. Let me talk about what Muhammad says about himself. And this is how we know. Remember, we have a prophet, they have a prophet. Yeshua being the prophet, they have a prophet. And we're going to compare the parallels here. We're running out of time, so I'm hoping I can get some of this in. Muhammad exalts himself. Says, Abbas reported that he came to the holy prophet while he was in such a condition as he heard something, okay, as he heard something about the lineage from unbelievers. The holy prophet got up to the pulpit and asked, who am I? They replied, you are the messenger of Allah, Muhammad. I am Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, son of Abdul Matulev. Allah created creations and made me the best of them. Then he created them into two groups and made me the best of the two. Then he divided them into tribes and made me the best of the tribes. Then he made them into families and made me the best of the families. I am the best of them as a member and the best of them as family. So we see here a person trying to exalt himself as greater than anything else. Yeshua never exalted himself above the Father. He says, my doctrine is not mine, but the Father whom sent me. Again, I'm not bashing Muhammad. We are comparing the information between the true prophet and another prophet. Yeshua says, I am the life, I'm the truth, you know, the way, the truth, and the life. So we have to compare the information. Hope you join me next time, next for the next session, and you're going to enjoy it. Shalom Aleichem. God bless you. Shalom, and thank you for joining us. I hope this teaching has been a blessing and challenging for you to come back and keep searching and seeking the great things about Yahweh and His Torah. This has been a challenging teaching, and I understand that. Do not believe anything that I say. Verify everything that I say. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can send me an email at wisdomintorah@yahoo.com. Or if you'd like to seek out some of the other teachings that I have on my website, you can go into www.wisdomintorah.com. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with me and send me an email, and you'd like to invite me to some of your congregations to share some of the things that I'm sharing on, that I'm teaching, it will be a pleasure and a privilege. Just send me an email. We can discuss the matter. And if you're interested in ordering this show, you can call GLC and you can order the teaching. I hope that Yahweh blesses you and keep you. And remember, He is truth. The Torah is truth. Yeshua is truth. Our Redeemer, our Savior. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. And I'll see you next time. Shalom.
Order your copy today from the GLC Bookstore by calling the number on your screen. Please include the program number when ordering.